Peter chapter 4. Thank you, David.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that'd be great. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 7. And this is a, I imagine it's a familiar, well, thank you, Jack, thank you. We learned. Thank you. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And this fits just really well with Phil's prayer as part of what he shared. Verse 7, and I just want to begin with this. Verse 7, 1 Peter 4, the end of all things is near. In other versions, and your version may read, the end of all things is at hand. The end of history as we know it. Now, it's interesting from God's vantage point. Is my sound coming through? I feel like I'm reverberating. Are we all right? Okay. If I get too loud, anyway. When we think of history as we know it, it's coming to an abrupt halt. I don't know if you've ever been in a, maybe years ago, I think we could share a few stories here, maybe we shouldn't. When you were on a sled and a little as a young child, and you're going down something, a hill, and all of a sudden you stop, you hit something, whether it was a snowbank, hopefully not a tree. I remember we had a friend of ours, we were up in Colorado one time, and a single lady who had become our friend, she is a nurse in Dodge City, and she lived up in Colorado, and so probably a couple of days, we went with her, Marty and I, and went out and stayed with her parents. Well, anyway, her sister was a real ski enthusiast, and she was on the slopes one time. She was coming down a black slope, which obviously is the most dangerous. And she was coming down, and she saw along the side there was this high school kid, and how high school kids dare each other, right? He had no business being on a black slope. He probably shouldn't have been on a bunny slope, but anyway, he hit this tree, and here he is, just he's this high school cool kid, just crying his eyes out, you know. He just stopped, and anyway, she did get him down finally. But history is just going to stop. The end is near. Now, from the Lord's perspective, obviously when this was written is a long time ago from our vantage point. But the way Lord views time is different than the way we view time. But it could happen at any moment. It could, the halt, the stop, history as we know it could come to a sudden stop in 2017. That's very, very possible. So, you know, as we think about the end of all things is near, how do we prepare? And I just want you to read this little word. The end of all things is near, therefore. That indicates because the end is near, we should do certain things. We should make preparations. It's key. It's critical. And what I'd like to do is spend a little time thinking about that for ourselves personally. There may be things we even think about in relation to our church family. But I would just want to think about several things, and then I want to make several applications as we walk through here. And that's really what I've given you on a list. And as I've thought about this, as we think about our new year as a personally, you might want to even notch a few things, whether tonight or some other time. But in these categories, what would be something God might want me to plug in to that category as I start this new year, preparing for the end, whenever that end is? All things are at hand. The end of all things are ready to break in, as one commentary puts it. Now, so in thinking about this, notice the very first thing that we're challenged with. exhorted to. Be of sound judgment. Sound judgment. The idea to have a right mind spiritually, to think clearly biblically, spiritually. And then, close related to that, and sober, and a sober spirit. Now, the idea, obviously, we think of the word sober, we think of intoxicated. But isn't it so true in our culture how people are spiritually intoxicated on the lies of our time? It's amazing. I think when I just look at culture, the things we adopt, the things we accept, the things we assume, the things that we watch that maybe almost take on a sense of reality, but there's no reality there. Ideas that are promoted in our culture that really are contrary to the Bible, contrary to Christianity. Some of those ideas have seeped and will seep into the church. It said there are many false, there are many antichrists and many false prophets. We shouldn't be surprised. Where does Satan want to take us out? Well, if he can take us out in churches, which he's done a masterful job in our culture, think how many churches you go to and they don't believe the Bible and they don't believe Christ is God. And even some churches who would want to be considered more evangelical would never talk about sin because they want to be PC, politically correct. So we don't want to talk about sin because people may not come. And I remember one individual who, in the whole issue of homosexuality, he was talking about it, and just the way he said it, I mean, he's involved in a massive, massive church. But I think what he said, the way he said it, was because it was politically correct to say it the way the Bible says. that's the only way I could take it, because I know this person's writing, and at least his earlier ones, and I thought they seemed really good. But it's interesting how we can get caught up in the culture in various ways. But so we need sound judgment and a sober mind, a sober spirit. Now, the only way, and that's the application of this, the only way we can have that is by allowing our mind to soak up the Word of God. That's the only way we can have a sound mind. The culture is not going to give us a sound mind. The university is not going to give us a sound mind. The Bible will give us a sound mind. That's why we need to have a place where we can come and hear the Word. I mean, that's one reason why we get together, right? The Word of God is to be central. So let me just ask this question. As you move into this new year, and I know probably all of you have, this last year you've had a kind of a system of approach. And probably many of you, if most of you, have thought about what am I going to do in this new year. But let me just ask this question: just what is something that you have found really helpful in just staying in the Word, staying in the Word? Just kind of open it up to what has been helpful to you might be helpful to somebody else, right? Anyway, go Janice, and then. Okay.
And it keeps me going over a number of years that through the entire Bible, and that's been very helpful.
Good. So scripture union. Okay, thank you very much.
We did almost 2 years now. I guess it'll be 15th of January. It'll be 2 years for us that we've been listening to Daily Radio Bible.
Right.
Hunter Barnes.
Right.
And he has a nice comment at the end as well each day. Mm-hmm. So we start our day with that. And every morning when we wake up, that's the first thing we do is we listen to
Hunter Barnes. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And I know I've listened to that some, and I know you've passed it on to others, and it's been a real... He seems to do a very nice job in his presentations. Yeah. And he's getting you through. He does it in a way, though, that it just kind of... moves you along, right? Moves you through. Very good. Very good. See, you know, there's two different approaches, but they're both very valid, very helpful. David? Right.
And, you know, the thought may not be relevant, but I like reading before and after what they suggest reading.
Right.
I find that, you know, you get an idea of the context, and it usually leads to some other thoughts.
Right.
Instead of, you know, maybe what they're bringing out, but at least it gets me in the Word, being on a busy schedule. And,
yeah.
And I know that there's something there, that a thought there that can get me into the Word each day, kind of.
Right. I think, and it's wonderful. I mean, that's available through the chapel, and it's a wonderful tool, the daily bread. Thank the Lord how it's worked and used, been used of the Lord in hearts. Anybody else have a suggestion? Just, again, thing, and we all don't have to have the same thing, but we all need to be in the Word, right? We all need to be in the Word, because if we're not in the Word, we don't have the option to have a really clear thinking mind. We're not going to think clearly about things. I think that is an excellent point, Grant. It just seems, it's amazing how the day just kind of unravels. Now, everybody has a different schedule, but I think getting in the Word, it sets the tone of the day, and if we don't get it, it does. It just seems like it's terribly hard to get back to it. That's right. Those are really, really important things. And I think, you know, one thing we need to encourage, and I know it has been and will be encouraged, but encouraging people that they need to be in the Scriptures. It's amazing how many Christians are not in the Word. And so why are we making so many bad choices? We're not in the Word, right? It's not permeating our thinking. Don? Okay.
Reading, and I'd like to affirm what Grant said, because some mornings, if I'm not able to sleep, I might get up at 4 o'clock and read my chapter or do my journal.
Right. I think that's very, very good. And journaling, you know, I think it's a great idea. Some are better at journaling than others. But see, these are just different ways to allow the Word of God to permeate, slow us down, but it's a priority. It's a priority. So, a sound mind. But notice what this is, and this brings us to our next application. The first is be in the Word. The second is to be alert in prayer. Now, I want to show the connection here in the verse 7. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit, notice this, for the purpose of prayer. Isn't it interesting? And as it ties these ideas together, we are not going to pray as effective as we should unless we are thinking clearly about what needs to be prayed about. Now, there's a lot of things that we've prayed for tonight, which all of them are valid and important. But sometimes if we're not really in tune with the Lord, we're probably not going to be praying as carefully and effectively for people as we need to, and for situations. But I just thought it's very interesting how this passage ties sound judgment for the purpose of prayer. So we need to be in the Word, so we pray more effectively. You know, some people and some books are, you know, praying through the prayers of the Scripture. Those there's some wonderful, wonderful prayers in the Scripture. And you don't have to pray like it's not a word for word, but praying the concepts of some of these prayers. And we'll talk about one in specifics, but some of these, you know. Obviously, they were given by inspiration, and God knows how to pray the best prayer possible. And so we need to be thinking, okay, what do I need to pray? You know, think of, now we prayed tonight, and obviously this is very important to pray for the salvation of our lost loved ones. And Jack mentioned that, just praying for our lost loved ones. And to pray, you know, just to pray for lost people. That's, we need to pray for lost people. May God bring us more and more lost people that get saved. But praying for their salvation. But also, I think this is one area we need to probably hype up our praying, is pray for the growth of the saints. Pray for the growth of our young people. Pray that they'll have a sound mind, that they'll think clear. They're coming. You know, people ask me, do I ever see a tornado? Well, yeah, I've seen tornadoes. But it's like we have tornadoes going all around our culture. And our young people are just caught up in these whirlwinds of faulty thinking. So we need to pray for them. But be alert in prayer. And there's just so many different things we could mention this. But does something come to your mind? That is something that you think we as a chapel should pray more for. Is there anything that comes to mind you think we should pray more for as a chapel?
Our young people.
They just need to be a passion. Or they need to be a burden on our hearts. Our young people, and I think of our, and this probably included in Everett's comment, but our young couples. That God will hold their marriages together. I mean, you know, we look at them and they're cute little couples and, you know, we're happy for them. But, you know, we know it's a long ways from here to there, right? And we need to pray that God will protect their marriages, hold their marriages together. Yeah.
I think praying for unity in the church is a real big thing. Because there's so many things that the devil can drive wedges into.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the leaders of the different groups.
I think that's an excellent point. Just, you know, and we do this, but praying for unity and then praying for leaders to keep coming along. We need, I think that's a very important point. And the right leaders. I just think this, and it does burden me, and I know people pray for the unity of our assembly. I really, really appreciate that. May God continue to protect that. May it be a God-honoring unity. We're not talking about just getting together on anything or agreeing with everything, but a God-honoring unity. Okay, Don, and then Janice.
I use a worksheet each day, and I try to have quotations. As I make them up, I look for useful quotations. Mm.
conviction. Yeah. Janice?
I think our community, the Lord somehow has blessed us by bringing Ryan along. You know, one person that can do with that, and this Branson couple that may
come. And to pray, we'll have real wisdom in how to put those feet under. I think we need lots of wisdom, more wisdom than we have, right? But that's, and then to Don's point, pray, really pray about it. And then push forward in whatever God wants us to do. Push forward. May God really help us in this. Don, you want to just pray for us? Just a few of these things that you come to mind. Just pray for us. Whatever pops in your mind on these things that we've shared, just for our chapel, and just that we'll do more than talk about it. We'll pray about it. Okay, so you lead us right now.
gather together to read your word and think on these things. May we consider seriously the needs of not only the young people in our fellowship, but the unsaved in our community.
Mm.
We pray for the children. We pray for the elderly.
Mm.
We know, Lord, that we live in a society which has stratified people by age, and the young and the old are separated in many, many ways. We pray, Lord, that as we consider the needs of each group, we will pray wisely and carefully that they may draw near to Thee. We recognize that it's pretty easy for us to grumble, say about the young people not being faithful to come to the remembrance service. And we do that. We hear that. But help us, Lord, rather than grumbling about it, to pray about it.
Mm.
And to encourage them when they do come.
Yeah.
And to be an example to them ourselves. And we think, Lord, of the unsaved around us and how that they should be one of our topmost priorities, because our time could be very, very limited, and they are heading for a lost eternity unless they come to know the Lord Jesus. May we be wise and diligent in seeking to present Christ to the lost for His name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's look, this fits very much with what was just said about, that David shared about unity, but to be fervent in our love. Let's look at verse 8, and we read, I find this very interesting as it starts out, above all. It really sets it at the top here. Now, these other things are very important, but above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Keep fervent. I'm sure you probably remember me sharing this, but it always sticks in my mind. It's the idea, the word in the original language was used outside of the Bible of athlete and of a horse and full, extending their muscles to the full capacity. So fervent, intense. I have a little ornament that was given to me some years back. It's one of my favorite. It has a little Pony Express rider, and you know how in the early days in the States where they had the Pony Express and they would ride these horses from station to station, sometimes killing the horse, but you know, just riding them at full capacity, trying to get the mail across the country. It was kind of one of the first UPS ideas. But anyway, those horses ran at full capacity to get across. And it's interesting that the idea of fervency is connected to love. And I really believe, going to your point, David, without an intentional and a fervency in our love, it's so easy to fall apart. Love does what's best for one another, wants what's best for one another. And all of us are imperfect. So to love one another when we're all imperfect is a big challenge. Especially, I mean, most of us, you know, get along and we, you know, enjoy each other. But what about the individual that walks in the door that's very, very different, you know? Or they're very much in our face, or they're very hard to deal with. They're, you know, those, that's when love really gets sticky. And that's when it's, it, and this, these things really have to be empowered by God. There's just no way around it. I think we all know that, but this is an empowerment. This is a fruit of the Spirit. But we are to have that intensity in our love. And we're going to have to, by God's grace, work at this. And love, as we've said this on various occasions, love is not always tender. Love is not always easy. Sometimes it's tough. And I find that's the hardest love to express, when you have to tell somebody what they don't want to hear. And you don't want to tell them. You know, you really don't want to tell them because you know they're going to be upset. Or do something that is contrary to what they want. So, love one another. Love one another. That's where may, and it's the highest priority. The above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. I mean, think of all the passages in the New Testament on love. And then this, it says this: love covers a multitude of sins. Now, it's very interesting. I'll just, this might be one way to describe it, and I'm quoting. Love refuses deliberately to drag out the sins it encounters so as to expose them to the gaze of all. I was thinking about this. You know when it says in Matthew to go to your brother? Your initial thing is to, you're not trying to expose a brother in sin. You're not trying to just embarrass them. You go, and then if they won't listen, then you take some witnesses. You go, because sin has to be dealt with. You take, and then eventually, and we're talking time frame here, not just bam, 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 but give it some time. And then you take it to the church. But you don't, that's not the first place you go. You don't say, well, you know, let's gossip about this, or let's tell everybody. That's where confidences are important. You know, where, let's say we know something that somebody's struggling with. We don't just go blab it. That would be wrong. Now, there may come a time, if there has to be church discipline, that's when you went through the proper steps, you still love that person, the pressure has to intensify, it may have to be exposed. But the initial intent is not to expose in order to hurt, embarrass. That's not what God wants. Love covers a multitude of sins. Think of time, and I can think of things, of course you never can share them, but I can think of some times when people have been dealt with one-on-one, and the sin stopped there, and there was no exposure beyond that. It didn't need to happen. And God just protected the person and protected the whole assembly in that. You know, sin always is hurtful. And, of course, the world loves sin exposed, right? The world loves it. It becomes an article in the paper. Now, sometimes we're not trying to be dishonest about sin, but we're not trying to be needlessly cruel or embarrassing. And so love covers a multitude of sins. And so we're not trying to hurt people. We keep confidences when important. Doesn't mean we don't deal with sin, but it does mean we handle people the best possible way. Now, to love. Now, I don't want to lose the whole concept with that illustration, but I would like, let's go to this whole issue of love, praying for love. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And I want to read this prayer. In fact, if somebody would read that for us, 9 through 11, this is a prayer, and just listen to it very carefully. Whoever reads it, be great. Okay, thank you, Dan. Now, I want you to just think about this. Now, there's a lot of stuff in between. It's almost like a staircase, really. It's progressive. But I want you to see where we start. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. Talk about that fervency, right? Love increasing. And I remember reading a quote one time, the one command in the Bible that can never be exhausted is love. There's always more room to increase our love. Abound still more and more. But I want you to show where it ends, and this is where ultimately we'll end in our little study tonight, to the glory and praise of God. If our love abounds, and within the context of what is given here, God will be glorified. God will be glorified. Love, as love abounds, God will be glorified. And love abounding is what's going to protect our unity. It's one of those qualities. It protects unity. It helps us do the right things for the right reasons. You have to ask the question when you love somebody, what is the best for this person? What is the best for this person? And at this particular, in this situation. So we want our love to increase. We want our love to abound. We want to care for people. I think one thing I enjoy is the diversity of people that we have. There's quite a bit of diversity. I think that is a wonderful thing. I think that's a wonderful thing. And it shows, and again, I've said this hundreds of times, we know we're not perfect, but there's a kindness. There is a measure of love in our assembly. And I really believe that. But we want that to abound. We don't want to say, well, we're loving enough, right? No, God's not saying that. He said, may it increase, may it abound. And so we need to, and also highlight, it's a prayer. It should be one of those things we pray for, that our love will abound still more and more and until the day of Christ, as it says in verse. So it's something to really keep in our prayers. And I'm trying to kind of watch my time here. Terry, would you just pray for us that our love will abound? Doesn't have to be long and fancy, but just pray for us on that, okay?
Yep. Father, just thank you for the word of love, Heavenly Father. And I know that in my old family, Heavenly Father, we always make sure we tell our children we love them, even tell our brothers and sisters, Lord, that we love them. And Lord, it goes a long way. And if you don't do it, it's no respect, Father.
Thank you. Now, I know I need to let me share a few things. Let's go back to this 1 Peter 4. And notice this next one. And I think this is probably a subtitle, but it's set apart. And so we want to leave it in that measure. 2, be involved in hospitality. Now, hospitality really is probably deeper than what we often think of it. One puts it, it's the positive expression of the presence of love. Now, in that day, in the day of Bible times, it would be more the affection towards strangers. People who didn't, let's say they were traveling through, and I was thinking it's very true in the Middle East right now. People without a home. People with, they need somebody just to care for them. And hospitality was a very, very big deal. I was just reading this, it somewhat connects here, but I was reading this prayer request. Christy Ann Fox, who some of you remember, Ray Fox. Christy Ann is his granddaughter, now raised with the Lord, but Christy Ann is his granddaughter, and she has been serving in a mission in southern Sudan. And so, and a lot of care for people in very broken situations, and the prayer request from the mission organization that came through yesterday, I believe, is that they're going to have to airlift people out of the southern Sudan because there's war going on there, and they're going to try to get them to Nairobi. And so if you think of Christiane, she's a dear, sweet girl. I think of her as a young girl, but she's probably in her 30s right now, I imagine. Both her and her sister are missionaries in different parts of the world. But Christiane said this. She said, pray for the people, not only the people being airlifted, but for those who have to stay. Those who have to stay. And, you know, just as we mentioned tonight, as Jack said, you know, we live in a wonderful place, right? But let's, that's one, that's the extreme form, the need of hospitality. But I think when people walk in the door, I remember I read this, or this in this book, it talked about people. People make up, in this book it said this, it's talking about church growth. And it said, many people make up their mind whether they'll come back to a church in the first 5 minutes of their connection with us. They haven't even hardly gotten the door. They haven't heard a message. They haven't heard any music. They haven't been in fellowship time. It's how we connect with them. Now, this goes back to love, right? If you were walking in that door for the first time, and you're walking in all by yourself, what would you want somebody to do toward you? Speak to you, right? Yeah, you'd want them to speak to you. You know, I think we really get nervous about connecting with people because we don't know them, right? But may God help us be hospitable, help us be warm, and help. And that's a training thing. And a lot of you are warm. I know that. But we need to train those who are behind us, those who are younger than we are, to reach out to people who are, you know, I'm sure you've experienced this, been in a church where you felt like you walked in the door and about 5-10 minutes in, this was a very cold experience. Remember that? I remember we went back, this was a church, it was a really good Bible teaching church, it was in the States, it wasn't Assembly, but it was a really good Bible teaching church, and I thought, boy, this would be great going to a Bible church and they teach the Bible. You know what, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, nobody said anything. We went back Wednesday night, nobody said anything. It was like Ice City, and we never went back. And we really wanted to be a part. We thought, we'd like to be a part of this. They teach the Bible here. I'm not sure how much it soaked in, but anyway, it was a very interesting experience, right? But may God help us be involved in hospitality. Now, yes, Janice. Ah, great. Wonderful.
And he's just one of many, but yeah. Terry is always there.
Yeah. Welcome. Thank you, Janice, for sharing that. Don't get a big head, just, but we're thankful to you.
Already.
I know. Grant.
A number of years ago, I think it was Huntsville, Alabama, and there was a kid who was
okay.
Sunday morning, we thought about going to a Bible-believing Baptist church.
Right. That's right. That's an excellent point. And one thing, Grant, I commend you on, too, is knowing names, writing down names. I think that's a wonderful thing. So if I ever need a name, I go to Grant because I know he knows the name. But, I'm sorry?
And his spelling.
We won't go there. Okay. Now, hospitality. And I want to say something, too. I think is wonderful, and not to embarrass James, but isn't it neat how she's been able to work with internationals and come in and bring them in? And I just think it's wonderful. Now, we need to take some cues from Janice in how to connect with Kiki and Alex, you know, and Arena. Make sure you don't forget them. Just, you know, one thing that happens, and I'm sure you understand this, but people can come. We can be very warm toward them for a couple of weeks. And then after a while, they kind of become invisible. is we think, well, you're just a part of everybody, but they don't feel a part of everybody yet. So continuing to reach out. Do you have any suggestions, Janice?
Well, I was just going to say, 3 or 4 people gave a Christmas card.
Okay.
They were some delighted.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you. And see, we might not have thought of that a clue. I didn't think about it that at all. Isn't that a wonderful thing, though, that somebody thought, right? Very good. Very good. Okay. I know let me just finish this off. Hospitality. And notice without complaint, did you notice? Hospitality is not always easy because it's just different, right? It's inconvenient sometimes. Notice this last one, though. Be faithful in serving one another through using your gifting. Now, let me just read this portion. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I'm just going to say a few things on this. Because people will say, and some of you say, well, I don't know what my gifting is. I think a lot of times people are using their gifting and they don't even know what the name of it is, what it's called. But what I've learned or observed is if you're just faithful where God plants you, just be faithful where you're at. And as you serve where God gives you, and you find, you know, I'm fairly good at this, but I'm not good at that. That's all right. None of us are good at everything. So we don't keep, you know, knocking on the same door, but on the things that God uses you in. And I was thinking about, now, just swell Terry's head up a little more. But I was thinking, part of what I think, Terry has kind of a gift of encouragement. Now, whether you ever nailed that or not, but I think that's part of it. You know, walking in the door, you smile, you encourage people. So not to embarrass you, but there's an encouragement, right? Now, and there's a lot, every one of us has a gift or more. So, but as you serve in the capacity God gives you, He will give you more opportunity. And to spend time, I think we're called to do all kinds of things we're not necessarily gifted in. But the more you find where you're strong, that's where you want to invest more, because you're more effective there. You don't have to feel, well, I can't do this, so therefore I'm a rotten low life. You know, that's not true. We all are important. We all have gifting. And that's what makes the body function properly, because we're unique. We're all of us are unique. And that just, and we come together, and that's, and we strengthen one another. We don't say, well, I can't do this, so I'm not going to do anything. Well, that's not what God wants. He wants us all to function. And hospitality and encouragement, mercy, some of you dear ladies visit and bring great encouragement to people in the hospital. Well, partly gift of pastoral caring and encouraging and ministry and mercy, all those things. It steward, but notice this, and I put this in a faithful, and I got that idea from this, stewards, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Our gift is from God's grace, and we're to be a steward, is a faithful steward, faithful and caring, faithfully doing what God calls us to do. So we just do what God allows us to do. He gives us opportunity to do. Now, notice, and again, whoever, as each one has received a special gift, and then dropping down to verse 11, whoever speaks, well, these are in areas like teaching or encouraging. It is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. In other words, people who are teaching need to make sure they're teaching what God has in His book. It's God's. We're trying the best we can to communicate what God wants people to know, not just what, you know, some pop culture idea. That we're trying to say what God wants to say to people is what's really important. We want people to know the truth, whether it's about salvation or about growing or how the church works. We want to speak the truth, God's utterance. And then whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. I think one of our most important things in the Christian life is dependence. Dependence and obedience. Dependence and obedience. We're to be dependent and obedient. But we need to know that our strength is inadequate apart from His empowerment. So when whatever God calls us to do, we do it in His strength. Walk by the Spirit, do it in His strength. And then, which God supplies so that in all things, God may be glorified. See, that's where we're going. I was thinking, to prepare for the end is to do what is glorifying to the Lord. That's really what's big. It's what exalts the Lord. What it brings praise to His excellence. When we are doing what God wants us to do, we glorify Him. He gets the credit. He gets the honor. And when we love one another, we have hospitality to one another, we pray for one another, whatever it is, if we do it in His strength and do it His way, we do it to His glory. And that's what, so preparing for the end is glorifying the Lord. And notice this as we close up. So that in all things, not just in the things mentioned, but so in all the things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Notice, it is through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is through Christ. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How can we have a successful season? How can we have a successful year? By preparing for the end. It may happen before this year is over, right? It looks real possible. Preparing for the end is glorifying the Lord. That's what we want to do, right? So whether He comes tomorrow, may even not make it to the end of the year, right? Or whether He comes 5 years from now, we're prepared for the end if we glorify the Lord. Let's close. God, we ask that You will help us really be prepared for Your coming, for the end of history as we know it. Preparing to stand before You, may we live lives. May we be a church that glorifies You, praises You, exalts You, magnifies You by the way we live, the way we work, the way we function. May we prepare for the end by glorifying You. In Jesus' name.